That was Tom Ryan, a founder of FireFlag, openly gay firefighters association in New York. Final comments, Brendan Fay, 15 seconds.
I think on 9/11, the one thing we can take from Michael Judge is in the midst of this hell and war and evil and violence, here is this man who directs us to another possible path as human beings. We can choose the path of compassion and nonviolence and reconciliation. Michael Judge had a heart as big as New York. There was room for everybody. And I think that's the lesson, if anything, we can take from him, is that will we choose the path of more compassionate living as human beings in our city and in our world?
Brendan Fay, thanks so much for being with us. And that does it for our show as we launch our series this week on the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. A very happy birthday to Andres Contreras. Democracy Now! Has an immediate job opening for audio video archivist. You can go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Nermeen Sheikh, Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Steve Martinez. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, I'm Bob Longman with your WUSB Concert Billboard. Tuesday, September 6th, the Staller Center for the Arts will start presenting Yoko Ono, Imagine Peace, featuring John and Yoko's Year of Peace, starting at 12 noon. That's at the Staller Center for the Arts, University Art Gallery at Stony Brook University. Your Concert Billboard for Wednesday, September 7th. Mary Lamont will be appearing at the Nutty Irishman in Bayshore, New York at 9 p.m. And the Fueled by Ramen Festival will be taking place at Terminal 5 in Manhattan, New York, starting at 7. Wednesday will feature Paramore, The Swellers, and the acoustic This Providence. Your concert billboard for Thursday, September 8th. TV on the Radio and Broken Social Scene will be appearing at the Williamsburg Brooklyn Waterfront at 5:30 p.m. The Fueled by Ramen Festival at Terminal 5 will be featuring Sublime with Rome, Gym Class Heroes, The Stereo, and Recover, and that's at 7 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area, or maybe try out one you haven't heard before. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 1 minute after 6 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Wall. We'll be right back. So, Kyle, do you remember what you were saying?
Oh, yeah. Basically, the handset that I was using is locked to the SIM that I had.
Right.
With my original provider. And so I wanted to get the SIM that I had working, you know, the phonic German one to work. So I was trying everything I could, and then finally I called up.
Right, and it took a very long time on the phone with AT&T.
Right, and I have an international number for them. I think I mentioned that. And so I called in, and she tried all different things. She had to talk to the domestic customer service, and then she had to call BlackBerry, and then she called... oh, gosh, I don't know. I don't even know who else. She said she talked to two supervisors. She kept coming back and telling me information and asking me different things. She asked me at one point if this MEP number, I think that's the number. Yeah, she asked me if it was under the battery on the sticker, like where the IMEI number would be. And I just kept telling her, you know, I would have noticed that. And I couldn't really get an answer that was good. You know, after that I said, look, I would have noticed that number. Can you please, you know, try to find out where to get this number? So she said, let me try one other thing. And that was, you know, must have been the fourth or fifth time she came back.
Well, this was going on for a good long time, because I was at CCC downstairs. I was on the computer talking to all kinds of people, and you kept coming back every 10 minutes or so with an update. You were still on the phone. Fortunately, it was a toll-free call.
Right, it was the international customer service, and, you know, she was good. She was, like, you know, to her credit, helpful and doing the best she could do for her in her job, but essentially her computer system was telling her that my IMEI was associated with a handset that was locked and that there was no date which it would be unlocked, like, you know, the three-month grace period that my friend Volti was telling me, and then there was no unlock code available.
Which was a very silly thing. But let me just update people on something, because in fairness to you, I just turned on the microphone now and asked you more than a week after we were having this conversation outside in Germany if you remembered where you were. And amazingly enough, you picked up exactly where you had left off, as if you were waiting for the signal to continue the conversation. What has happened since? The reason we stopped the conversation back then was because the battery died. And we haven't had a chance to resume the conversation for more than a week. And since then, we've actually left Germany. We came to Switzerland. We came to Zurich. And it's been an amazing thing. And now here we are. Today, we're standing in a completely different country that we've never been to before. And I got to say, as we're both basically hanging out in this country for the first time in our lives... it's pretty incredible sight, don't you think? It's an amazing place to be.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm only imagining what it would be like to grow up here, and
I can see the good. I can see the bad.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder, you know, where do young people go? Do they plan to go to university? And is that a big deal? And do they come back to work here? Are the young people that are working here? I mean, I saw a young guy, maybe a little younger than me. He's wearing a really nice suit and a wool overcoat and very dapper looking. I'm wondering, did he finish school and now he works here because he lived here? Or do people seek out this place and move here from other places?
It's not easy to get to. It's not easy. We mentioned we were in Switzerland before, and that's easy to get to. This place, not so easy. And, you know, I have a feeling that they kind of, you know, they kind of look down on other countries. And I can sort of see why. This is a unique place to be. This is incredible. But before we describe the country that we're in a little more, I just wanted to know, since more than a week has passed, has your opinion on the whole GSM thing changed in any way? Because since then we've taken trains, we swapped SIMs like you would not believe, and I just wondering maybe your perspective on that kind of a thing has changed.
Mom, not entirely. I still feel the same way about my SIM. I would be excited, perhaps, if it did work and really enthused. And I think if I had a different kind of smartphone that it would have worked with this foreign SIM. And I actually have a tri-band phone that I use for that kind of thing. So maybe the next time if I get another phone, and I honestly got this phone because I didn't want to have to get a new one. You know, and again, I'm happy with my choice for security reasons. I kind of understand why perhaps they wouldn't want to make it incredibly easy for their phone to be used with foreign third-party SIMs. And then that said, I mean, so that's how I feel about the existing handset and my provider from the States, which generally works really well. It just sort of stinks that they benefit and you know, are the only one that I can use in this handset, meaning I get charged. So having only one handset and leaving my unlocked handset at home, that's sort of what I'm left with as far as choices. But I was able to borrow your phone.
Yeah, we took a long train ride, and we were trying to use up our German minutes on the final cars that we finally got working. And I had some left in mine. I quickly used mine up. But then you had yours, and you were using this little tiny phone that I bring with me when I travel. And it's not a smartphone for sure, but it does work. It's unlocked, and you can just plug any SIM into it. But we hadn't charged it the night before, so it didn't last very long. So we had a bit of a quandary. I had a phone that had a working SIM. I had a phone with a lot of battery, but a SIM that had run out. And you had a phone with a SIM that had lots of time left, but your battery had died. So how do you solve a problem like that?
Yeah, well, I just put the SIM with lots of time into your phone because your phone had more battery. And it was helpful because the person I was talking to, somebody, I wanted to finish the conversation, and I was having to redial and redial and redial and call them back. But that was a signal issue, I think in part due to the fact that we were moving very fast through the countryside.
And you call that person back something like 18 times, I think. Is he still your friend?
Yeah, fortunately, he's the type of person that is completely tickled by that kind of antics. So he was actually getting a kick out of the whole thing. And the last like five times I called him back, I used your phone, which had a pretty decent amount of battery. And so we were able to use up these SIMs. And the call quality wasn't bad. I mean, when I did have signal and I was having a conversation, it was full duplex. Like, I could interrupt him, and I mean, I could hear him. The latency wasn't really bad or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, it worked in the end. I mean, it was a terrible pain to get these things working, and I learned a lot about my domestic provider and the handset that I use as a primary phone.
And I learned a lot about German customer service and the lack thereof.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of pride for the German language lately, and you know, I'm not noticing that as much in Switzerland. I really enjoy the fact that they don't really have French, I think, and German as their native tongues. And
we wasted a lot of time studying Swiss, and we found out they don't speak that in Switzerland. So we it was a complete waste.
Very funny.
Yeah. Oh. Now, there's a story behind that. We're obviously standing outside a church. We should have mentioned that. We're standing outside a church.
Oh, and, I thought that was a ringtone.
Well, apparently it just struck 6 o'clock. Now, it didn't strike 12 o'clock, but there's some kind of contention here between rival religions, and each one has their own set of bells. So the church bell rings to chime the hour, and then you get 6 of one religion and then 6 of the second religion, and that's fair for everybody.
I don't buy that.
Well, okay, can you think of a different reason why we just heard two different bells chiming the same hour from the same church? I shouldn't say damn church, should I? Sorry. Don't mean to offend whatever religion this happens to be. But no, it was definitely 6 different gongs from the same place. I mean, 6 gongs and then 6 more gongs of a different bell from the same place.
Two-tone.
Well, something weird's going on here, but yeah.
Now, which bell is which, then? Answer me that.
I don't know. I don't know, but it's just, I've never seen a church do that, and I guess, you know, we should be very specific as to where we are, but I don't see the name of the church here, so it's just basically a big stone church right smack in the middle of the main street of the country that we're in right now. And the castle is up there. There it is on the mountain, looking down on us, which is quite nice.
Yeah, we're kind of on one side of the valley. It's dug in a little bit to the hill.
Really, it's very cold outside, so I don't want to go on for very much longer. I think we've given a lot of detail as to where we are and what this place is like. There's some snow on the ground. It's a little bit icy, but it's nothing like in Switzerland, nothing like in Germany, certainly nothing like in Scandinavia. It's a bit actually, I guess Switzerland is sort of similar. There wasn't very much snow on the ground there. It might even be a little colder here.
Yeah, I think it's a little colder, and there is a little more fresh snow, but definitely quite a bit of pavement. They didn't get a deluge recently. But yeah, a lot of pride here, I think.
Yeah, a lot of pride.
They really are proud of their town and
their country, their entire country.
Yeah, you're right.
You can tell in the language. I don't understand the language either, but you could just tell that the people here really care. And they keep the place clean. They keep the place nice and tidy. Everything runs efficiently.
Well, I've seen some slogans like sponsored by various jewelry shops or whatever. And, you know, better village, better country, things like that. Slogans, kind of anecdotes and things like that. And absolutely, a lot of the architecture is very clean and crisp, and they mix a lot of the old with the new.
We took a long walk down a street. We were looking at some of the suburban I guess we sort of walked into the suburbs a little bit. We looked at some of the residential places. And
there's some little tracts of farmland, too.
Farmland. You went to the farming district. So walked around quite a bit. And, of course, they have a pretty elaborate bus system that takes you to and fro.
Yeah, yeah, the buses are ever present here. I don't know what else. It's just a lot of little bike paths and walkways.
I'd like to come back. I'd like to come back to this country and really take it in some more. But I can't recommend it enough for those of you listening now that you should come here, because it's really it's a place to see. And where else would you hear about it but on a show like ours?
That's right. Yeah, the people are so friendly. When we were walking, that woman was like, she just said, hi, you know, and I was like, hi, you know, just didn't have to. It's, you know, late in the evening and it was cold and she just said hi to us.
Well, yeah, but we should look up the translation of the language they speak here. That might mean get out of the way.
Yeah, I interpret it as hi.
In Japan, hi means yes. Do you know that?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, we really should have kept doing our research.
Well, we should know a little bit more. When you visit a country, visit a foreign country like this one, you should always do some research first, and we didn't really have a lot of time to do that, so we sort of went in here blind. But so far it's been nice. The people have been hospitable and forgiving, and I think, you know, we'll make it out okay. We're gonna walk around a little bit more and explore and learn some more, and hopefully bring back more knowledge.
Absolutely. If anybody wants to know about this place and get a sense of our experience, We love to help out and be diplomats for this country.
I think we've helped out enough. I think people really need to do research on their own at this point. Just look it up and do some studying and come here on your own and learn about one of the more interesting and unique places on Earth. I don't think there's anything more we can say.
No.
All right, then. We won't. Oh, that's our cue. Yeah, okay, and we're back live in the studio now. Boy, that was... hi, Carl. How are you doing?
Hi.
That was a magical time, wasn't it, when we were standing there in that country, and back in January of this year.
Yeah, there was. It was way back in January.
I've never been to a place like that. Never been to a place like that since. It's... maybe I'll never be in a place like that again. I don't know.
Yeah. I'd like to know more about regular daily life there, too. I mean, we just sort of... We're there for a couple hours just exploring on our own, but
Maybe there's a listener who lives there who can call us.
I would love to know, like, what it's like being a young person there, and I asked some questions about college and stuff like that, but just business-wise and you know, industry-wise, I know there's all kinds of things that go on there, people producing things, and it's a
people
country
that's... destroying things, too. I saw some of that.
Yeah, there's a bit of destruction.
People do destroy things as well as produce things. They have to.
Yeah. It would be very fun, as you said there, though, to go back and to just find out just more about what it's all about. It's a very well-known place for a couple different a couple different, actually very interesting things. Mm-hmm. So going back and exploring some more would definitely be a treat.
Absolutely.
And being able to describe it more for people so that so they can appreciate it as we've experienced it.
I don't want to spend too much time on it or focusing so much or giving some publicity for the place as it is. We should get a cut of whatever it is that happens. But I also want to talk about some of the things that we've been up to in the last week or so. And well, let's take some more phone calls, too, because we had fun doing that last week. But basically, we were recovering from the hurricane a week ago, and that was something, getting around with no power, as so many of our fellow Long Islanders had to do, and people throughout the region. Basically, a day would be involved going to a local coffee shop. You know, I don't want to give out the name of the coffee shop because I gave so much publicity to this particular chain of coffee shops last year. It would be ridiculous. But I got to say, I wound up almost living in them. This last couple of weeks.
They came through.
They really did come through because, you know, we had no power, we had no connectivity, and they had both there. And nobody harassed us. No one said, hey, you can't plug your laptop in there, you can't recharge your telephone, you know, you can't bring in your electric shaver and you know, basically maintain yourself right there in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, hey,
basically,
but they're
very accommodating as far as letting you do things.
They had very pleasant restrooms, though.
They did.
So you probably could have brought in your razor and done some of that hygienic stuff.
I wouldn't doubt some people did that. And it's just there was a sense of community there as well as other places.
Absolutely.
We saw local shops where basically power strips were just put out in front. People were welcome to plug in and charge.
The little card table with the sign.
Yeah.
Feel free to charge your devices here.
And so you had basically a half dozen or a dozen or so people in the neighborhood just sort of hang out for a few hours in front of the store while their various bits of equipment charged. And, you know, everybody just was communicating with each other, saying, hey, is your power out? And how did you do? Any trees fall on your property? Things like that. And it's just, it's cool. It really was as pleasant an experience as I think we could have experienced from a hurricane like that. We eventually did get power back. We got power back on Friday, so we were out for about 7 days. And people say, yeah, that's a long time. Okay, it is a long time, but, you know, power isn't everything. There are so many other things to life. I mean, we kind of wandered around town. We went to see a bunch of movies. We went out to eat in a few places and just tried to make do. Went to the city. Went to the places that had power, but also spent time in places that didn't, and that was cool too.
Yeah, reading, talking, having conversation, watching nature, watching the remnants of the storm, and the neighborhood, seeing what's going on and who's doing what. But that community, I mean, it really was cool. I can't say it enough. Just, I mean, it felt so much less cold and indifferent. I mean, you felt like you were less isolated than you are with all of this technology, all the resources and infrastructure and everything. We end up feeling kind of isolated because we can all go everywhere we need to go and we can get away from everything. And when you're sort of forced to coordinate with people around you, gosh, you meet people you never, ever would have met. And you learn things about your community and life. It just felt really small town, really like a throwing back to an older time in the midst of just a power outage.
And it really is a small town every day. We just don't see that. Even in New York City, if you go at any neighborhood in New York City and just spend time there, you'll see the same people. You'll go to the same places. They'll get to know you. Your habits will become familiar. And you do get that small town sense of things, which oftentimes is a good feeling. And yeah, it takes a crisis, I guess, to bring that out more. And maybe that's a good segue into memories of a crisis that took place just about 10 years ago. Of course, 9/11, the 10th anniversary coming up on Sunday. I can't believe it's 10 years ago that September 11th happened. I guess the question to ask everybody is, where were you on September 11th? And Kyle, I don't know if I've ever asked you, where were you on September 11th? I know you were on TWA Flight 800. That's something you'll never live down. You were on it a week before it crashed, but you weren't in the World Trade Center a day before it came down.
You really want to know?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
You want to know where I was?
Yeah.
All right.
What were you doing?
It was around 9 or 10 in the morning. I had a 10:30 class. I was attending Loyola University in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the north side in Rogers Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going to Dr. Talmadge Wright's mass media and pop culture class.
Give the guy's full name out over the air. Okay,
yes,
fine.
Did.
Well, I'm sure he's going to be thrilled to find out that.
He's very well published. He's he actually does researching into gaming chat rooms.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Like, the way guys and gals talk to each other in gaming chat rooms. He's published some interesting work about that. But he's
in the academic world.
Sociologist,
for
yeah.
things like this.
Yes.
Incredible. Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. That is what one of the major areas of research he studied. But so he was teaching sort of introductory to mass media and pop culture. It was a 10:30 class.
I had to learn Old English when I was in school and study Chaucer and Shakespeare and things like that, you know. And I would have liked to have taken a class like this.
Yeah, well, I mass communications and sociology was actually fun because we got to talk about people and mm-hmm. watch TV. So anyway, it was very serious coursework. Okay.
Of course it was, yes.
and anyway, I was going to this class at 10:30 and it was a normal day in every other sense. I don't want to say something was in the air or anything because I don't remember it that vividly.
Right.
But what I do remember is Dr. Wright coming into the class and turning on CNN.
Wait, you had a TV in the class?
Yeah, it was media studies. But it was one of those wall-mounted ones. And we basically just watched the news for the entire class. And at the end of the class, he had a TA that was handing out sort of alternative media links because he was concerned that this would turn into something that we would use for, like, perpetuating racism and mm-hmm. stereotypes and warmongering and nation building and all that.
Wow, he hit a home run on that. That's definitely what it was used for.
Yeah, among other things. I mean, now you can't even paint a picture of a burning bank on the side of the street without people asking you what you're doing and if you're a terrorist and that kind of thing.
Who painted a picture of a burning bank on a building on the side of the street?
Yeah, this guy in California. I saw something. This guy in California was painting a picture of a Chase bank. The bank was not burning, but he was painting it as though it was burning. And someone, a lot of people were cheering him. And then someone called in and said they were concerned. And the police in California came and sort of questioned him and said, you realize it's post 9/11. So anyway, we're going to get a lot of that this week.
Is it post 9/11? Oh,
it's
wow.
It's 10 years post.
How about that? You know, it's never not going to be post 9/11.
Yeah,
I don't know if people realize
exactly.
that.
So anyway, in a nutshell, that's where I was. I was in school.
But when you were in the class and he turned it on, what were people doing? What were they saying?
I think it was really, really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was as much discussion as a normal class, even though this was a perfect class to be talking
of
about
course,
media
yeah.
and popular culture and
at
all
At what
that.
Point did he turn it on? After the second plane hit or before?
I believe the buildings were both still standing.
Okay.
And I think one or two of the planes had hit because there was smoke.
Right.
And I don't know how long the buildings were standing from the impact, but I mean,
hour and a half, I think.
Yeah, so it was actually right after I left that class because it was an hour-long class, so mm-hmm. I was done at 11:30, I think, somewhere in there. And then we followed it the rest of the day or whatever, and you just got, I mean, it just
well,
hasn't stopped since.
You
For
had
10 years, we've been inundated with it.
You had other classes, though. Right.
Actually, I had an interesting schedule, fairly sparse. I was doing like 8-hour credits, or I don't even know what it was. We were on a semester system, so it was probably a day when I had one class
okay.
that day.
All right.
That easily could have been the case, but again, it was quite a while
ago.
They
didn't cancel classes or anything like that that you were aware of?
Not that I remember. Okay. Perhaps thereafter, but I don't distinctly remember that day being canceled in any way, and really I don't remember the week being canceled. But,
uh-huh.
I was a college student, and... It had a huge impact, but, you get so busy with other things that I had to continue on and took my own path. But, of course, this has been sort of an ever-present din in the background. But anyway, so that's where I was, and that's how I feel about it now. You know, you can't paint pictures of burning banks. So where were you?
Where was I? Well, interesting question, because usually, as you know, I sleep well beyond those hours. And in this particular case, I happened to be up. And the reason I was up was because I was on jury duty. And when you're on jury duty, you have to call in the night before and they tell you if you're supposed to report. And since my schedule was so completely opposite from that of a juror, I had to put myself into training so that I would start waking up in the morning, and so that if I was called the next day, I'd have some chance of waking up at like 7:30 in the morning and making it out to wherever I had to be by 9. So on that day, which I believe was a Tuesday, I was already awake. I wasn't on jury duty, but I was in training for the next day, maybe when I'd have to go in and be up nice and early.
Right, you were changing your sleep cycle.
I changed my sleep cycle, so I was up.
Right.
And a friend of mine called me on the phone and said, hey, a plane just crashed into the World Trade Center. No word on whether it was a small plane, a big plane, whatever. So I turned on CNN and, of course, started recording it because, as you know, I record everything, or I did record everything on VHS.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were doing all kinds of VHS recordings.
Oh, my God, yeah. And yeah. Actually, for that, I wound up recording CNN and BBC too for a while, for a week straight, day and night, just throwing an 8-hour tape in and letting it go.
I bet you have some good stuff.
I do. I have something all the conspiracy theorists would love.
Yes. Well, we'll get that process.
Yeah. But anyway, so I just happened to have it on and just saw it unfold bit by bit. One thing that struck me though was just, and this is always true in cases of breaking news, is how wrong the story is reported, how such misinformation gets treated as truth. I remember a report coming across that there were car bombs going off by the State Department on the Great Lawn in Washington, D.C., various things that just weren't true. And basically, nobody knew what was going on. There were all kinds of reports. I know one person said, and this has been used as evidence by a lot of the truthers, that there was something else going on in the buildings. Somebody, a reporter, said that the building was exploding. Now, of course, you know, if you're reporting on a plane crashing into the World Trade Center and then another plane crashes into the second World Trade Center and you don't see the plane, you just hear the explosion, you're going to say, hey, the building's exploding. It makes perfect sense to me.
Right, it's taken out of context.
a bit. You saw things like that weren't quite accurate. You know, locally, I remember there was a whole big thing of closing the Student Union building here. Like, okay, they've attacked the Pentagon, they've attacked the two World Trade Centers, the Student Union building at Stony Brook is definitely going to be next. So there was a lot of lunacy that started very, very early in the game. And when you just add it all up, when you look at all the things that have happened with regards to invading Afghanistan, invading Iraq, creating this nonsensical organization called Homeland Security, and using that phrase as if it actually isn't silly, getting used to the color coding system, which fortunately we've gotten rid of now, I think, but just so many silly, stupid things that have come about that we don't question anymore, that we just, and kids who have grown up, they've grown up with this. And when we saw all the celebrations when Osama bin Laden was killed, we saw a lot of college kids celebrating, and it was kind of disturbing. And the reason for that was because they lived their entire lives virtually, their entire waking lives, that is, with this specter over their heads of this evil person who now at last the Wicked Witch is dead. So I guess it's kind of understandable, but still very disturbing. And it sort of shows where we've been brought by the way these events have been dealt with. As opposed to what's happening in Norway, the way they've dealt with tragedy there at the hands of a lunatic.
Absolutely.
They've strengthened their resolve to be exactly who they want to be, to hold on to their ideals, to not change, to not build more walls and destroy their way of life. And we went in exactly the opposite direction. We could have had so much out of this. We could have had so much unity with the rest of the world. It's a tremendous opportunity. One I hope that doesn't come again, obviously, but it certainly was a wasted chance, I think.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't really. I wonder what sort of diplomacy have we gained as a result of this? You know, how are we reaching out? How are we bringing in people and addressing kind of why these kinds of things would happen to our country? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you remember the big to-do about evacuating Washington, D.C. and all that? I remember that quite vividly.
The whole
vividly.
City?
Well, no, the White House and, like, you know, uh-huh. Who's where. I remember that being, like, a big focus of a lot of the media attention.
On the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I wanted to know where George W. Bush was. It took a while to find him.
Right. And, you know, the big, you know, formal who goes where and what's the protocol for who is running Congress. And I remember that was just, they went on and on and on about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think, did you ever think it would become such a phenomenon? Like, just like what you were saying, like DHS and Department of Homeland Security, all these agencies, all these kids, even, like you're saying, like any reason to party, but maybe it's not just a reason to party. Maybe they truly are celebrating. And mm-hmm. then what is that culturally? Like, is that a sickness?
Well, I mean, keep in mind, we've seen things like this happen before. We've seen propaganda be used so many times. The whole communist era. We've seen right, so many regimes. Yeah. We've seen World War II, all kinds of things happening there. Just more recently, we had seen the various wars in former Yugoslavia. And we saw how people would change overnight and just be indoctrinated by propaganda and by rage and desire for revenge and things like that. So, yeah, I saw us as not being immune to that at all. And where exactly it was going to go, who knows? Nobody really knew for sure, but it seemed like it was moving in a dark place. And with George W. Bush at the helm, it really seemed like anything was possible.
I was just going to say, think of the direction we had. I mean, it's all the little things, the little pins, the mm-hmm. little remember and the never forget, the all of that adding up. But those things had other meanings tied to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, had a lot to do with our country's leadership at the time. In other words, never forget or, you know, 9/11, you know, all of these slogans and pins and ribbons and all the little bits of memorabilia and you know, just soaking ourselves in the memory of this tragedy
mm-hmm.
is framed in the context of a leadership that I think was a bit sick in the direction they took this. Of course, that's my opinion. All right, I'll own it. But mm-hmm. but truly, all of those things could be very open, very worldly, very encompassing or I want to say, like, bringing people in, bringing people together. But I don't think any of those things have that attached to it. When I see a lot of the memorabilia and a lot of that kind of little stuff that we have to remind ourselves, it really makes me think of intolerance. Not intolerance. Yes. I know intolerance is kind of a silly word, but just sort of hatred. It makes me think of hatred and a backlash.
And fear of the unknown.
Yeah,
and
xenophobia.
All kinds of assumptions. I know one of the best things that I did was going into New York City. I actually went to New York City the very day of 9/11. And that was an incredible event right there. Because everyone said you can't go into New York City. First of all, it's dangerous. Second of all, it's impossible. But, you know, I had a radio show. Off the Hook was on Tuesday nights at that time.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I was determined to make it in. However, the radio station also at that time was under sort of a hostile regime, the whole coup of WBAI. You can read up about that in the history books. But what they wound up doing was they wound up moving the broadcast studio and not telling the staff where they moved it to and broadcasting from some unknown location for a week.
Right.
But that didn't happen for another day. I made it all the way into the city. Buses weren't charging any fare. I was able to take the number 7 train in. You could see the smoldering ruins of the World Trade Center, and people were just sitting on the train reading their newspapers. One guy who was looking at it said to me, yeah, these are just the pigeons coming home to roost, and I knew exactly what he meant by that. Basically met up with some friends and wound up walking practically all the way down to Wall Street, which is where the radio station is and was.
Uh-huh.
By that time, the third World Trade Center building, number 7, I believe, the one with the controlled demolition, you truthers out there. Yeah. whatever happened there.
Right. It was a federal building.
That one fell and the power went out. And so there was no way we could broadcast anyway. So I made it there for nothing. But I remember looking around the financial district, how quiet it seemed. It was like the beginning of a snowfall. You know, that lack of sound where the snow is just falling gently and the traffic is kind of muffled. Except this was ash that was on the ground, on the cars. People were writing notes literally on cars to people they were trying to find, hoping they would see it on the cars. And it was just a really spooky, really crazy scene. You couldn't see anything. It was very very murky, almost like being underwater. And the city was just very, very quiet that day. And we wound up going uptown eventually to get away from that. And it was just a very weird and strange mood. And basically, I remember I was out pretty much all night, had to walk almost all the way back to my car, which was parked in Queens. That was the furthest in I could get. There were no planes in the sky because throughout the country, everything had been grounded. So
completely grounded.
It was a very unusual day. Very blue sky on both days, though. Listen, let's take some phone calls. I know our listeners want to share some of their experiences and thoughts and things like that. We want to give them the opportunity to on this almost the 10th anniversary of September 11th, 2001. So we're going to play a little ID here from a good friend of ours, and then we're going to come back and take phone calls at 631-632-9872. That's 631-632-WUSB.
WUUSB 90.1 FM in Stony Brook.
And we're back with hopefully a smooth transition. 631-632-9872 is our telephone number. And we'd like to take phone calls from listeners who have maybe ideas or memories or observations of things having to do with September 11th.
Yeah, how are you people honoring this day? How are you remembering it? I don't know that people are having big parties and celebrations, but what does it mean to you 10 years in?
Mm-hmm. And things that you might remember from 10 years ago, places you were, things you noticed, and stuff like that.
And where do you want to go? Yeah, where do you want to go from here with it?
And not just people who are local, people who are anywhere in the world. Obviously, it's affected you, too. It's affected the entire planet. I don't mind talking to people who feel that there was more to this than what we saw. There always is more to something than what you see. No question there. I'm sure there are all kinds of things that we'll find out about in the future or things we'll never find out about in the future. But I've never bought into all these conspiracy theories, and there are always so many of them. You know, there's never a lie for every single thing that has happened. There's always a conspiracy that somebody has uncovered, and they kind of all go together. And it's just it seems a little too simplistic, and it always relies on something which I find to be almost incredibly impossible. And that is for everybody involved to keep quiet and to not reveal anything. And how many times does that happen? How many times has something occurred? For instance, the hunt for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. It was turned out to be a complete farce, and it was revealed that way. Now, wouldn't it have been very convenient if they had simply uncovered something and it was a big conspiracy and nobody ever talked? So many things that we can point to. Where that kind of unity would really have furthered the cause, the evil cause that these people are allegedly behind. And in the case of all the 9/11 conspiracies, it just that's the one thing that really kind of bugs me. Like, you mean, you know, a plane didn't crash into the Pentagon, and all the people that saw it, all part of the conspiracy, including people on the street, and just because you couldn't find a particular camera that was supposedly focused on that building, is that really all the problem? Okay, and if the plane didn't crash into the Pentagon, where did the plane go? And that's sort of where the people say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. I think it does matter. You know, you have a plane that suddenly goes missing. Tell us what happened to it. I'd love to know. I'd love to know the rest of this theory. So it went somewhere else. They're all sunning themselves on an island somewhere, or what? They went to some death camp someplace. And why? The other question I always ask is why is crashing a plane into the Pentagon not seen as enough of a statement from somebody that wishes to cause mayhem and destruction that they have to have an elaborate some kind of card trick that makes it seem like that's happening, but actually something else is happening, which results in pretty much the same effect. So yeah, that's what I have trouble with.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. You got to invest in all kinds of connections that are tying up a lot of loose ends. But I think what can be said is that people, first responders, people that really care about this country were really caught off guard. And I think those people, had they known something, would not have let it happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, maybe a couple people were in on something. Okay, fine.
There was definitely incompetence. There's no question about that.
Okay,
there's people that definitely did not pay attention to certain warning signs. That's always the case with bureaucracies, with governments, things like that. Yeah, yeah. No question there. All this talk of somebody going into the World Trade Center and putting all these explosives in weeks beforehand, not being detected by anybody, and detonating those exactly the moment where these alleged planes hit. And these planes were military planes because they had the windows taped up or something crazy like that. And again, where did the people go? Yeah, it's just, come on. I think what happened on September 11th was pretty clear. and pretty dramatic in and of itself. We don't need to make it even more crazy than it really was. Gosh, I guess we're not talking about something that's of interest to our listeners. We have no calls. This must be the only radio station in the world where people aren't interested in talking about Homeland Security and September 11th and conspiracies and memories of 10 years ago and thoughts of the future and things like that. Or maybe our transmitter is broken. It's not broken because, you know, I've been traveling around the North Shore, and I'm very happy because our signal is much better on the North Shore. Ever since the hurricane, a signal from Connecticut has not been interfering with us. And so if you're on the North Shore and you're listening to us, maybe you're listening to us for the first time because of that.
I'm wondering, do people know the phone number?
Well, why don't we give it out? 631-632-9872. I mean, I did give it out, but I'll give it out again. 631-632-WUSB. That's our telephone number. 631-632-9872. Okay, I see we do have a call. And we're going to take this call. Just like that. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, how you doing? Have an opinion about something and see how you guys feel about it.
Go right ahead.
All these pieces of steel that they're bringing to towns in Long Island, they're being blessed by the rabbi and saluted to and stuff, and made memorials out of. It doesn't sit right with me. I don't know why. Do you have that opinion, or how do you feel about that?
What is it they're bringing in?
Huh?
What is it that they're bringing in and blessing?
The steel, pieces of steel from the World Trade Center.
Okay.
They bring to different towns on Long Island. They're setting up as memorials and making, like, planters out of them and saluting them and stuff. It just doesn't seem, I don't know, it doesn't seem right to me.
Well, what is it that bugs you about it?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. It just doesn't seem, I don't know.
Does it seem morbid, or does it seem inappropriate somehow, or?
I think it's, I can't put my finger on it. Inappropriate, maybe. I'm not saying it's disrespectful. I think people, I guess, need to have in their backyard, I guess. But I mean, to honor it and parade it down like Main Street and have, like, you know, firemen and flags, and I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't know. I don't know why. It just doesn't sit right with me. Do you have any opinion on that at all?
I can kind of see where you're going. I think you have to let things rest at a certain point. And taking pieces of metal and rubble and you're kind of brandishing it. And it becomes a little bit political, I think, or something other than honoring it. And then there's a lot of ways humans have quite a bit of experience memorializing people and stuff. I don't think we need to take every bit of it and run it around. But I don't know much about this. I'll have to look into it. It does sound a bit much. You know, you have to kind of let things rest at a certain point.
I'm just curious, where did they find all this metal? Where's it been for 10 years? I thought they got rid of all of it.
Well, all I know is it's at least three towns on the island where they're dragging, they're bringing this thing in and making a memorial and setting it up. And, of course, some of them are shaped like crosses, which maybe that irritates me a bit.
Uh-huh. Well, there's the one at Ground Zero itself that somehow fell and looked like a cross when it fell, so that was a big to-do.
No, yeah, absolutely. But there are little pieces that they're bringing to towns. I can't remember the towns.
Well, I'll tell you one town, the town that annoyed me the most, and I wrote about this and spoke out about it at the time, and that's in Port Jefferson, right near us here at Stony Brook. Port Jefferson was named after Thomas Jefferson, one of our founding fathers, and they had a statue of him. They tore down the statue after 9/11 and replaced it with a big eagle that was a memorial to 9/11 and sort of had this hawkish quality to it, even though it was an eagle. And the thing is, they tore down a statue of Thomas Jefferson, kind of like, tearing down statues of Lenin and Stalin and things that are very symbolic in other parts of the world. And I don't think they saw how that looked bad, and they never replaced that statue.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's what I'm trying to reflect here. Maybe mm-hmm. it's something like along those lines where maybe they're taking down a little memorial park for, a Marine that might have passed away in a little playground. They put this, piece of steel up and... Again, I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, but. I mean, I hear what you're saying. To me, it's a piece of steel is a piece of steel, and if that makes you have closure, I don't really have a problem with that so much. I do have a problem with just words that are used in very propagandistic ways. That get people manipulated to feel hatred and fear and to follow at any cost. I'd rather have something that allows you to simply reflect and come to your own conclusions.
Well, I guess. I mean, and again, and final thing, you know, I don't want to hold too long, is, like, you've made a good point. Is it closure by passing this piece of metal every day? I don't know how that would be closure to people. I mean, I don't know. You honor this piece of steel, how do you think of it? You're reminded constantly every time you pass this thing of all these people who died. Is that what we're supposed to... Is that what it's about? If that's what it's about, then fine. But I don't get it.
Yeah, but we see things like that all the time. I mean, a cross. Whenever you pass a cross, that's pretty much the same thing. It's remembering this momentous event. That's kind of gruesome when you think of it.
Absolutely. And like, how can you forget this? Can you really say that? Oh, I forgot. Oh, 9/11. Oh, I forgot about that. I mean, who's going to forget about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, guys, thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for your call. Lucky show. Thank you. All right. Take care. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
I don't know if this is being recorded or not.
Well, it's being broadcast, so it's quite possible it's being recorded, too.
Well, I know they're broadcasting a conversation with a young man that called in.
Uh-huh.
And calling in answer to what's going on Sunday. We lost two young, beautiful young women in our family, and family and friends are coming from all over.
This happened 10 years ago?
Yes.
So these people were involved in the attacks on, or victims of the attacks on September 11th?
Worked at the North Tower, 66.
Wow.
24 and 31. Beautiful young girls, and it's just the media playing it over and over again. It's like watching them get killed over and over and over.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how painful that must be.
And it is. I really can't talk.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks for calling in. And maybe the best thing is not to watch TV on Sunday, you know? And we keep forgetting that there is a continuing human price here. And people feel this all the time. Especially those of us who are connected one way or another. I was extremely lucky that I didn't know anybody personally that was involved. I knew lots of people through other people that were involved, but never anyone personally, myself. And I know there were so many other people that can't say that. That, you know, for instance, if you knew somebody who worked in a particular firm that was in the World Trade Center, you might have lost 20 friends in one day.
Yep.
People on the plane, you know, families. It's just, yeah, we do tend to forget that this is, it's bigger than national events, because I think the human toll, the individual toll, is always bigger than the national toll itself, because those are the lasting feelings that that never go away.
I think her call is emblematic of what we've been saying, is that, like, we all mourn and we all handle things in different ways. And there's all this meaning that's been attached to the event, and with, I think, some irreverence to that,
right,
diversity of the way people deal with these things.
But the event is eclipsing the lives, and I think that's the point she was making, that the lives are the thing that are so valuable. And we keep talking about 9/11 and you know, what it means, and this milestone and things like that, and we're just forgetting the preciousness of human life itself, and how something so crazy can just happen in a moment and change all of that.
Yeah, it wasn't a bunch of people to her. It was two very crucial people in her life.
Right.
And, you know, I think people that are removed, that we don't have direct connections to people that were lost in the tragedy, we just look at it as a national thing. A lot of people died, and then all of these consequences and weird ways that it was, you know, branded afterwards.
Right.
But how intimate is that? That two very beautiful people in a person's life, that intimate relationship was lost amidst many others, but that closeness is now gone, or was taken in that moment 10 years ago. So that's just exactly, I think, what we've been trying to say, is that let's be sensitive, you know. Let's not get out in the streets.
Yeah, we can't assume that everybody that was affected by this directly is of the same feeling as to what it means, how it should be dealt with, etc. People come from all different backgrounds, have all different philosophies, and it's really an injustice to say, well, because you know, you were a victim, you must feel this way. No, it's not that simple. It's definitely not that simple, and it never can be. We have time for a couple more calls. If anyone else is out there and wants to share any feelings, experiences, thoughts, that kind of thing, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB, country code 1. If you're outside the United States, you only have a few minutes left, but... yeah, it's going to be weird on Sunday. It's going to be kind of a strange day, it being a Sunday for one thing. I wonder, is it going to have like a holiday type feel to it now? Is September 11th going to start turning into that, like a Memorial Day type of a thing? I'm waiting for the first September 11th sales to start showing up. That's going to happen someday. Maybe not in the immediate future, but. As people forget and move further and further away, it's going to take on more and more of that kind of image, I think.
Yeah, I think you know, the important thing is to look out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Look out, you know, make sure you're taking care of people. You make some calls, send some notes to people, whatever it takes. Remember who's close to you and take care of each other.
And don't live your life like this kind of thing is the norm, because it's not the norm. If it were the norm, it'd be happening all the time. It's messed up. There's no question about that. But humanity as a rule is not does not engage in actions like this. And if we live our life believing that it's just around the corner all the time, we always have to be ready, then you're really destroying something precious about yourself and not really changing the outcome either. Go ahead.
I don't know. I just would add, you know, and be careful about who you're influencing. You mm-hmm. know, what are we teaching young people by our actions and how we feel about these events and how we deal with them? Because those are the kids that are out partying when, you know, what, Osama gets, you know, all that. It's really important to be a role model in these situations.
Okay, let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Emmanuel. It's Gig. How you doing?
Hi, what's up?
I'm not working a lot. Yeah, the gentleman who called before about those monuments who had a problem with it. Yeah, there's one in Rocky Point, actually, at the Rocky Point Firehouse. Just west of William Floyd Parkway. They've been working on it for a while. Okay. I think they lost two firemen who happened to be New York City firemen or something like that there.
Uh-huh.
Just real quick, I don't really have a problem with it. And that bit about people who are forgetting, I guarantee if you pick any random day, and I do this from time to time, okay, ask anybody if they remember what year it was. I've gotten everything from 2000, I've gotten 2001, I've gotten 2000, you know, a lot of people, yeah, you forget the year. It's sad. It honestly is. But,
well, they won't forget the date, I'm sure.
Glad to have you guys back, by the way.
All right. Well, thanks thanks for your call. We're going to try to squeeze in one more.
All right, not a problem, man.
All right, take care. And good evening. You're the last call. What's on your mind?
I'm holding for the show.
You're holding for the show? No, you're on the air right now.
Hey, all right, guys. Hey, listen. So here's my thing.
Make it quick.
This is my angle on it. So we saw the pictures in the paper of the tragedy, and then the 14 or whatever terrorists there were, they had pictures of them, passports. Seems like they rounded up those 14 gentlemen or whatever. Osama bin Laden is now gone. And yet we still drag ourselves even further and further down this abyss of and ruin American lives and more American lives. There were 3,000 in the Twin Towers and another 6,000 in Iraq, Afghanistan, and who knows. And we still can't get ourselves out of this quagmire.
And that's just on our side, too. Hundreds of thousands, if you count the other sides as well. Listen, sir, you raised some great points. I'd love to discuss this more. We're out of time, though. But call back next week.
You got it.
All right. And I want to thank everybody for calling in, being part of the conversation. Yeah. And that conversation will continue, obviously. September 11, 2011, coming up on Sunday, 10th anniversary. Write to us, otw@2600.com. That's our email address. We'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts and feelings and things like that. And Kyle, any last words as far as...
Well,
It was, what was the name of that hurricane?
What, which?
The hurricane. I think it was Irene.
You know what? We never mentioned the name of the hurricane. Isn't that something? Wow. We talked about the hurricane this whole time, and we never even talked about the name of the hurricane. Okay, well, thanks, Carl, for bringing that up, because that's, for the people listening in the future, that's an important distinction. But, yeah, definitely something. All right, listen, we're out. We'll be back in another week. Thank you all for being part of the show. Good night. Okay, now it's been brought to my attention that we also neglected to mention the name of the country we were in at the beginning of the show. What's going on with us? Liechtenstein was the country we're in. How did we miss that? We didn't mention the name of the country or the hurricane. Two very important things that we were discussing.
Well, hey, you know, we're on top of it. We've made it clear now, and I'd love to go back to Liechtenstein.
Yeah, and thanks everybody for calling in and pointing out everything that we do wrong, because how else would we get better if you didn't do that all the time? OTW at 2600.com if there's more items on the list you'd care to send us. Good night.
Good night.
Would I get you out of here?
Hi, I'm Bob Longman with your WUSB Concert Billboard. Tuesday, September 6th, the Stellar Center for the Arts will start presenting Yoko Ono, Imagine Peace, featuring John and Yoko's Year of Peace, starting at 12 noon. That's at the Stellar Center for the Arts, University Art Gallery at Stony Brook University. Your Concert Billboard for Wednesday, September 7th. Mary Lamont will be appearing at the Nutty Irishman in Bayshore, New York at 9 p.m. And the Fueled by Ramen Festival will be taking place at Terminal 5 in Manhattan, New York, starting at 7. Wednesday will feature Paramore, The Swellers, and the acoustic This Providence. Your Concert Billboard for Thursday, September 8th. TV on the Radio and Broken Social Scene will be appearing at the Williamsburg Brooklyn Waterfront at 5:30 p.m. The Fueled by Ramen Festival at Terminal 5 will be featuring Sublime with Rome, Gym Class Heroes, The Stereo, and Recover, and that's at 7 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area, or maybe try out one you haven't heard before. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.